Welcome to the Burled Arch Podcast on mushing. Tonight we're talking about the bib draw and starting order, the ceremonial start tomorrow, our top five predictions, rookie of the year, and a brand new feature called Memorable Moments in Mushing History. Let's kick it off.
Nobody covers dog sledding like Mushing from First Paw Media. Our team of athletes, volunteers, race organizers, and mushers like Robert and Michelle Forto brings you closer to the sport. If it's happening, we are there. Live from the qualifying races in January and February, the Iditarod in March, and in the summer, Mushing takes you on the road with our team and trail tour. We connect you with a history of the sport, in-depth interviews with a top mushers, and great storytelling and breaking news all year long. Follow on mushing.com.
We are calling all fans of the Iditarod. For a limited time only, you can receive a sticker from Mushing as a thank you gift when you donate online. Visit mushing.com/donate to support us today and keep your independent mushing media thriving.
Welcome to the podcast. I'm Robert.
I'm Michelle.
And we are in the calm before the chaos. Last night was the starting banquet. Tomorrow is the ceremonial start. And then we're off to the races on Sunday. This is the last day for the next couple of weeks for these guys and gals that are getting ready to hit the trail to finally relax. It is going to be a wild ride for the next half month or so, and we're excited to be here to cover it with you. We've got a lot to talk about tonight, including the bib draw and starting order and our predictions. That's always a fun thing to do, to kind of look back on it in a couple weeks and to see where we were right and to see where we are wrong. Let's do it, Michelle.
All right. I hope you've got your popcorn ready. Here we go. At last night's banquet, the starting order was set. The 2026 Junior Iditarod champion, Stanley Robinson, will lead out first. And the honorary musher with bib number one is for the late Mary Shields. By the way, we just recorded a podcast with Stanley, and it airs tomorrow right here on this feed. So here we go. Number two, Adam Lindenmuth of Willow, Alaska. He is a rookie. Number three, Roan Booser of Big Lake, Alaska. He is a veteran. Travis Beals out of Seward, also a veteran. Number five, Ryan Reddington out of Kinnick, Alaska. He is a veteran. Kiel Roki out of Switzerland. He's a rookie. Jesse Holmes from Brushkana, a veteran. Chad Stoddard out of Anchorage is a veteran. Bailey Vitello out of Nenana is a veteran. Number 10, Paige Drobny Cantwell, veteran. Number 11, Joseph Sabin out of Two Rivers, rookie. Number 12, Keaton Lobrick. He is now a veteran out of Fairbanks. Number 13, Thomas Varner out of Torpa, Norway. He is a veteran. Number 14, Jesse Royer out of Seely Lake, Montana. She is a veteran. Number 15, Mill Porslid out of Denmark. She is a veteran. Number 16, Matt Hall from Two Rivers. He is a veteran. Number 17, Laura Eklund out of Two Rivers, a veteran. Number 18, Gabe Dunham out of Willow, Alaska. She is a veteran. Number 19, Riley Dyke out of Big Lake, veteran. Number 20, Sydney Bale out of Wasilla, Alaska. She is a rookie. Number 21, Richie Betty out of Fairbanks is a rookie. Number 22, Jason Mackey out of Fairbanks is a veteran. Number 23, Hannah Lyric, Alta, Norway, veteran. Number 24, Sam Martin Kelmsford, Massachusetts, rookie. Number 25, Sam Popperman, Seward, Alaska, rookie. Number 26, Wade Mars out of Willow is a veteran. Number 27, Josie Thier Shelley out of Fairbanks is a veteran. Number 28, Jay Foucher out of Wentworth, New Hampshire is a rookie. Number 29, Jesse Terry out of Sioux Lookout, Ontario, Canada is a rookie. Number 30, Michelle Phillips out of 10 Mile, Yukon Territory, Canada is a veteran. Number 31, Sadie Lindquist out of Moose Pass, Alaska is a rookie. Number 32, Jody Potts Joseph out of Eagle Village, Alaska is a rookie. Number 33, Pete Kaiser, he is a late entry. Glad to see him joining the group. He's out of Bethel. He's, of course, a veteran. Number 34, Kevin Hansen out of Kotzebue is a rookie. Number 35, Jeff Dieter, veteran from Fairbanks. Number 36, Brenda Mackey, rookie from Fairbanks. Number 37 is Grayson Bruton out of Toke. He's a veteran. And number 38 is Steve Curtis out of British Columbia, Canada, also a rookie. Now, the ceremonial start of the 2026 Iditarod Trail Sled Dog Race will take place on Saturday, March 7th at 10 a.m. in downtown Anchorage, followed by the official restart in Willow on Sunday, March 8th at 2 p.m. Teams will depart the start line at both locations in two-minute intervals as they begin their journey along the historic Iditarod Trail. Now, if you are traveling anywhere around the Matsu Valley or the Anchorage area, it is a good idea to get out and get a good head start into Anchorage well before that 10 a.m. start. I will be heading in around 7:30 in the morning out of Willow. Hopefully, I arrive in time to grab a good parking spot. And if you happen to see me bopping around down there, please say hello. I might have something that you could find very valuable. Fans planning to attend the restart in Willow should note that parking will be available for $20 per vehicle. That's cash only. General public parking will not be permitted in the Willow Community Center lot. Accessible parking will be located as close as possible to the community center entrance. And on race day, watch for electronic message boards along the park's highway in Wasilla and near Houston High School with the latest updates on parking availability in Willow. We do encourage fans to arrive early both days, Saturday and Sunday, to plan ahead. Make sure you are dressing appropriately for the difference in the weather. Willow is always colder than Anchorage. Join us in cheering on the Mushers and their incredible canine athletes as they set out on the last great race on Earth.
And I highly suggest if you get a chance to take one of the shuttle buses, I know they're going to be running most of the morning as they're heading up to Willow from Anchorage and also in Wasilla. You can probably find out more about that by following the Iditarod Facebook page for more information. It is a very good idea. Parking is very limited up here in Willow. We've lived here for 15, 16 years now, and we have only driven to the restart one time. We always take our snow machine over just because of the parking. It will be very busy on both days, so plan accordingly. As Michelle said, she will be in town by about 7:30 in the morning, so it's going to be a bright and early day for her. She'll be leaving here at about 6 o'clock in the morning. We do have some fresh snow up here in Willow, a couple of inches over the last couple of hours, day or so, with more to come. What does that mean for you? A little bit more difficult to move around. You got to have some good boots, have a good parka on, and definitely do not bring your dog to either event. We cannot stress that more than enough. Leave the pups at home. So as we mentioned at the top of the show, today is the calm before the storm. What teams are doing most likely after they've done all of their public appearance stuff last night at the banquet, today is a rest day. They're getting everything together. The last minute checks are being done. The last minute logistics. Often they will meet with their families for a final meal, a little get together, maybe a bonfire. They may hang out with some sponsors, have a nice meal at a restaurant, all of those things that they're going to do before the big race. For folks that are not local, meaning if they do not live in the Anchorage or the Mat-Su Valley area, this very well could be the last night that they sleep in their own beds for well more than a couple of weeks when they arrive in Nome. So get a good night's sleep. If you are hanging out in Anchorage, I highly encourage you to visit the things that are going on. Did you know that the Fur Rondi is still happening downtown? It is going to go through the weekend. Just last weekend, they had the Rondi World Championship Sled Dog Races. Buddy Streeper from Canada picked up his 11th win. It's an entirely different sport, but it is still part of the lifestyle. There's some other cool things going on. The Running with the Reindeer is tomorrow afternoon. I did do that one time. Quite interesting. Of course, they have the carnival rides, which is pretty close to the start line there. They have the art show, ice sculptures, and of course, visit the brand new arch in the Anchorage Mushing District. If you're up for a little bit of a scavenger hunt, you can look for our dog paw. It's under the name Team Aneke, the Four Toes. And if you are the first to send us a pic on our Mushing Magazine Facebook page, we will send you a prize pack. So how's that going to work? The first comment that we see with a picture of our dog paw, you will get the prize pack. We'll send you a quick direct message, say, hey, thanks for finding it, and you are first. We'll get your address, and we'll put that in the mail. So now we're coming up to one of my favorite things to do here on the show. As we talked about last night, we don't care about jinxes. I don't believe in that. I will pick whoever I think is going to be on the list. As a matter of fact, I'm sure you know this, Michelle, because we've been playing fantasy football for, 20 years? My fantasy football team is called the Jinx.
And you almost win every year on top of that.
So I do not believe in superstitions. So whoever we pick today is not going to jinx these guys by any stretch.
Oh, no, we don't have that Madden thing going on.
So by any stretch of the imagination, but we may hold a little bit of weight in the water, and they might just say, hey, you know those guys from Mushing Magazine and the Burled Arch? They picked me to be in the top five. We'll see if they make it in the top five. So, Michelle, who do you have, maybe in a particular order, maybe not, in your top five?
No particular order, but I'd like to say of note, before I give my predictions, we may have the first year that I can remember doing this show with you that we don't have a CV or a Barrington twin.
Yeah, I saw something on the Barrington's Facebook page. They said the first time in 16 years that they are not planning to go to Nome. So it's been a while, but we have a Barrington adjacent announcement to make. I think we'll announce that here today. Since there's a little bit of hubbub about it. But yeah, they're still involved.
Of course they're still involved. I just always enjoy following them along the trail. So my five top mushers, no particular order. I am going to let you guys know that I am going with Reddington, Holmes, Kaiser, Drobny, and Royer.
Okay, so you have three men, two women.
That's right.
Okay, no particular order.
No particular order.
Okay, so first off, we have three former champions in the race itself. So we have Ryan Reddington, we have the defending champion, Jesse Holmes, and we have Pete Kaiser, all as defending or previous champions. We have two other champions who are going to be a part of the expedition class. We have Thomas Werner, who will be on a dog team, and we have Jeff King and his crew, who are going to be on snow machines with a very late entry with Steve Curtis from Canada. Jeff King and his crew is also going to be held with Jessica Klika, I believe is how you pronounce it, a veterinarian, I believe.
Klika
in the Bethel area, and Andy Poole, who is one of the Barrington's husbands. I do not want to say the wrong name.
I don't either.
So that is the Barrington adjacent relationship in this year's Iditarod. Both those guys and gal will be part of the Steve Curtis crew. So we do have those expedition mushers. We're going to talk a little bit about those probably tomorrow, but a little bit of history there before I give my top five. This is a very interesting field with those three previous champions and a lot of very good mushers coming up. What do we have? 23, I guess it would be veterans, and then 14 rookies. So quite a bit of experience there. I am going to say it is really anybody's race out of the top crew. Of course, there could be a dark horse in the group. That is definitely a possibility. But Michelle had mentioned that she has Jesse Holmes and Pete Kaiser. I am definitely going to say they are in my top five. I would probably pick Matt Hall in that top five there. I'm going to say that this might be the year that Jesse Holmes or Millie Porcelain takes the cake, or potentially somebody like Jeff Dieter. That would be my top five. I think Jeff may be the dark horse. He's been up in the top rankings there before, so it is definitely a possibility. But yeah, it is going to be a very interesting race. Lots and lots of experience there, and a very strong rookie field. And a lot of the rookies are working with other kennels, like the Seavies. You had mentioned this is the first year in a long time, but one of the Seavies is not in it. We have somebody is running out of the Booser kennel. We also do have Roan Booser, who is back in Iditarod for the first time in a while. So all of that being said, that is my top five. Let's do the Rookie of the Year pick, Michelle. And remember, Rookie of the Year is the first rookie to arrive in Nome. That is how they pick them. Who is your Rookie of the Year?
Jody Potts-Joseph.
Okay, how come you chose her?
I think that Jody is, I think that Jody may be in the top 20.
Okay.
Maybe even the top 10.
All right, and have you followed her much?
I have a little bit from time to time. I think that Jody is a go-getter, and I think she's going to surprise a lot of people.
All right. Well, I am going to pick Richie Beattie as my Rookie of the Year. He's been on the podcast, I believe, two times over the last few years. He is one of those dark horses. He has the ability to kind of pull the trigger, if you will, and make some waves there on the trail. So I'm going to go ahead and pick Richie. Good luck to those guys for sure. We'll see how it pans out.
Okay, so for the fans of this Burled Arch podcast, you guys got to recognize something. Robert never really tells you what happens if he wins or if I win in our predictions. This year, I'm going to put it on the table. One of us owes the other person a steak dinner.
Okay. All right. And we'll have to do a live or real or whatever they're called. With the winner's steak dinner
at the Chop House,
or the Last Frontier.
Well, the winner gets to choose, don't they?
Speaking of the Last Frontier, that place, if you are visiting Wasilla, Alaska, you could easily stop there on your way home from the restart. I'm sure it will be very busy. They are known for their gigantic Alaskan sized steaks. These things are huge. They're quite expensive. I think probably $100 or so for a New York strip. It's not the Texas Roadhouse by any stretch of the imagination. They got pretty good food there. You mentioned the Chop House. The Chop House is pretty spendy. I think it's probably one of the most expensive places up here in the Mat-Su Valley. And they do have pretty good food. We've been there a couple of times. We had a Christmas party there for your company that you work with, as well as a recent Valentine's Day buffet.
That's right. But I do have a little secret. Apparently, there is a bar on the Parks Highway just after you start to pull out of Wasilla. And it is called the Silver Fox. It is a blue building. Definitely looks like a dive bar. And as you guys pass this, I want you to consider something that I was told this week by somebody in the know. Apparently, that little dive bar has some of the best steaks in the valley.
We've never been there, so we're putting it on the table, literally. If any of these guys come in the top five or the rookie of the year, they don't have to win the race, but if somebody has some people in their top five and wins...
We have to have more than 50%.
Well, what if only one of us has one?
Well... There's two people on both of our lists that are exactly the same.
Oh, that is true. So as you can probably tell, we're a little competitive here. We typically don't talk about these shows before air. We just sort of shoot off the cuff. And I think that's what a lot of people like about it. It's not kind of staged commentary. So, yeah, we'll see how it goes. So what I was going to mention is after the ceremonial start is going on, all the hubbub down there on 4th Avenue, they told us at the Mushers media briefing that they are going to do something pretty cool over by the Campbell Airstrip, pretty much where the ceremonial start ends, about 12 miles away. As you know, the United States of America is celebrating its 250th anniversary this year, and there are things going on all over the country. There's auto races in D.C. and reenactments at Gettysburg and all the things. Well, evidently they are doing something, and part of the Bureau of Land Management is doing some type of mushing celebration to celebrate this 250th year of our country. And they did warn us that there is no parking at all at the Campbell Airstrip. You will have to take a shuttle. I think they said you can park at the Science Center, which isn't too far away, and jump on a quick shuttle bus, and they will take you over there to find this event. That's all I know about it. It was a very quick announcement. You can probably learn more about that, as we mentioned, on the Iditarod's Facebook page. Michelle, we are starting a brand new segment. Let's kick that off.
Welcome to the Mushing Podcast. It's time for another memorable moment in mushing history. Sponsored by Peak Experience, providing experiential and team-building courses.
Moment in mushing history. From Team and Trail, June 1973. An old concept and a new challenge were met with determination and great success in 1973, adding a new horizon to the sport of sled dog racing through the promotion and running of the $50,000 Iditarod Trail International Championship Sled Dog Race. This event, run from Anchorage to Nome over more than 1,000 miles of Alaska's roughest terrain, was billed as the longest and richest race in the history of sled dog racing, and that it was. This spectacular event was the culmination of the outstanding efforts of the Iditarod Trail Committee, headed by Joe Reddington Sr., to get the race off the planning board and on to the trail, along with the support of the United States Army in clearing parts of the trail, private pilots, and ham radio operators, support of the villagers along the trail, snowmobile crews, and individual trail breakers, the generous people who backed the race with financial donations, and of course, to the determined drivers who tested themselves and their teams over the 1,000-mile trail. To all those who determinedly went ahead to prove that it could be done, and to the race itself, Team and Trail proclaimed the Iditarod Trail Race its 1974 Musher of the Year. The 1973 Iditarod race seems to have fired the public's imagination like no other sled dog feat since the original 1925 Serum Run to Nome. Team and Trail readers from Alaska to the Atlantic seaboard and across the Atlantic to Europe have indicated enthusiasm for the kind of race the Iditarod is. Many of the comments came from people who would never dream of attempting such a run, but they realized the enormity of the new horizons now opened up in many different ways. By the way, we are releasing a series of episodes with Rod Perry, who ran in the first Iditarod. You can find them right here on this podcast feed. So what do you guys think? Do you like these little history nuggets? I spent a lot of time in the last year scanning every issue of Team and Trail from 1959 to 2009. I'm nearly finished. I'm on year 2000. I would say I am ambitious in getting the final years done before this Iditarod closes.
Michelle, you had mentioned that we did some interviews with Rod Perry. And as a matter of fact, we have an episode dropping on Sunday, just a couple of days from today, where he talks about his 1973 Iditarod run. And if you recall from this history nugget here, this moment in history, that was the first edition of the Iditarod. And my goodness, does that man have some stories to tell. One of the most telling stories is about his lead dog, Fat Albert. Yep, after the cartoon, remember this is in the early 70s, he was telling me stories about Fat Albert received more press than any dog in American history. Now, that might be a tall tale, but he was in all kinds of publications, including something relating to the Wall Street Journal, magazines, Sports Illustrated, the whole nine yards. When we talk about the Iditarod being all about the dogs, well, you do not have a dog until you have one named Fat Albert. So definitely now, go check.
Robert, we have a lot of fans listening that have no idea about our own memories of what Fat Albert could mean.
Yeah.
I am hearing the song. I am seeing the show. Hey, hey, hey. I can't handle it right now. You got to give the backstory about why this dog's name was Fat Albert from our perspective.
Yeah, I asked him that right on the show. I said, hey, wait a second, Rod. Was this named after the cartoon? And I'm sure people are scratching their head. If you are younger than 40, you probably have no idea who Fat Albert is. Well, it was a very popular cartoon. I don't think it was a Saturday morning cartoon.
Yeah, it was.
Was it?
It was a Saturday morning cartoon, and I guarantee you it's on YouTube, and we're going to be watching it later tonight because I can't handle it right now. It might not be as politically correct today, but go check it out. It was a lot of fun for us. Any Gen Xer out there knows exactly what we're talking about. And as soon as Robert said Fat Albert, I guarantee you every Gen Xer out there had the same memory I had with the hey, hey, hey.
Yeah, and it is a story about the trials and tribulations of a group of youngsters, I guess they would be, young adults, African-American folks. It was probably one of the first cartoons that was from the African-American lens, which was pretty cool back in the day. I know that Bill Cosby, for whatever it's worth in today's day and age, was a big part of that. I think he voiced a lot of the characters. But yeah, definitely check it out. And yes, we talk about the cartoon and the tie-ins with Rod's famous dog, Fat Albert. But there are so many stories in that episode alone that he shares, stories that he has said he hasn't told in years. This guy is 83 years old, if I remember correctly. He's been around this sport for a very long time. And if you happen to be in Anchorage in the summer, we talked about this Anchorage Mushing District and the brand new arch. Well, he has a booth set up, and he fancies himself as the historical Iditarod interpreter, I think is what he goes by. You will not miss this guy. He is a colorful character. I've spent the last 5 hours today sitting here in my chair recording podcasts, and it made me think of something, Michelle, that I wanted to bring up real quick. I remember during COVID, when they had the sports leagues on, the football teams, and in particular, the hockey games, and all of the announcers were announcing all of the games from their homes. So you would have, the hockey commentators, one might be in Toronto, the other guy might be in Chicago, and they were announcing the game from their home studios. And that sort of feels like what we're doing. We're sort of sitting here doing the thing, commenting on, giving color commentary about a race that we know quite a bit about, but we're not there in person.
That's right. Absolutely right. And, you know, we just hope that people understand that we are passionate about this sport. We're enthusiastic about it, but we don't sugarcoat things. We are giving you our opinion, but our opinion is based in experience as much as it is, as being participants in dog mushing. So I really hope that you guys have been enjoying these podcasts. We like to keep them a little shorter in the beginning because, man, once we get rocking and rolling Sunday night, these podcasts turn into sometimes an hour and a half. As many of you know, when we had Roan on as our guest host last year, we were killing it with our banter back and forth between the three of us. It was a lot of fun. And I think that, you know, Robert and I have a tendency to take it out a little bit longer as well. So let us know in the comment sections or on our socials if you've been enjoying this year's format compared to how we've done things in the past. We always look forward to improving our skills. And, you know, if there's something you guys want to know, let us know and we'll try to do some research about it. If there's something that you know that we don't know, please share it with us. And if we make a mistake, don't be too hard on us. Let us know and we will do our best to make that correction in the next episode. Tomorrow on the podcast, we will be sharing our experiences at the ceremonial start in Anchorage, including the vibe and the energy of the dog teams and more. And actually, it won't be our experiences. I will be down there all by my lonesome because Robert has committed to his dog mushing class for Alaska Pacific University. And those 9 kids that are coming out here to our house to continue their course and learn all about dog mushing. You know, there's no better way to keep this sport alive than by teaching people what it's all about.
So before you give the numbers and the contact information, you had mentioned corrections. We're going to put it out there right now that we are terrible with pronouncing names. We will probably mess them up for the rest of the coverage. I tell people all the time, I am terrible with people names. I could probably talk about your dogs and their dogs' names forever, but I would have no idea what your name was if you walked up to me at a restaurant or in a bar. I would say, hello, this is my wife, Michelle, and I would have you introduce yourself. Isn't that how it goes?
Typically, and it's always difficult to recognize other dog mushers when they don't have all of their gear on. But forgive us, you guys. We don't do it for any type of ill. Names are difficult. People butcher our names all the time as well. So just recognize that if we do hear you say your name correctly, we will do our best to also say your name correctly. But leave us a text or a voicemail if you want to leave a a comment or have a question, remember what Robert said two nights ago. If you guys have a question and you're willing to do it on a voice recorded message, we'll drop it here on the show. We did that last year. We did it the year before. It was a lot of fun. The phone number for the hotline, if you will, is 303-578-9881. Again, that number is 303-578-9881. Or you can always leave us an email at podcast@mushing.com. Thanks for listening.
There you go, guys. We will see you guys tomorrow night around the same time. Be sure you hit that subscribe, follow, plus button, whatever is on the player that you are listening on. That way you'll get every episode on your device and you do not have to send people questions. Hey, when is the Burled Arch podcast on and why in the world is it on the Mushing feed? We've been on this feed for many years. We switched gears a little bit and had its own feed, but we wanted to bring it back to its home base, if you will, a little bit easier for everything to be tight. So hit that button and you'll never miss an episode. And do us a favor, share it with your family and friends. And if you really like us, make sure you leave us a positive review. That helps people find our show. We will see you guys tomorrow night. Goodbye.
Are you a fan of the great outdoors? Do you enjoy the thrill of speed and adventure? Then listen up. Introducing Mushing, your ultimate guide to the exciting world of dog-powered sports and mushing. Whether you're a seasoned musher or just starting out, Mushing has got you covered. Get ready to immerse yourself in captivating stories of incredible sled dog races, expert training tips from seasoned professionals, and gear reviews to help you make the right choices for your team. From the breathtaking landscapes of Alaska to the snowy trails of Scandinavia, Mushing takes you on a thrilling journey through the world of dog-powered sports. Don't miss out on the latest issue, packed with exclusive interviews with top mushers, in-depth articles on sled dog nutrition, and stunning photography that will transport you to the heart of the action. So whether you're dreaming of competing in the Iditarod or simply want to learn more about this incredible sport, Mushing is your go-to resource. Subscribe now and get ready to unleash your passion for mushing. Visit our website at mushing.com or find us on your favorite podcast platform. Mushing, where the spirit of adventure meets the power of the pack.